This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Castology.
It's podcast time for Castology. We are the podcast that listens to, likes, recommends, reviews, talks about, bitches about podcasts, and then tells you all about it on the side after we've done all of that off mic.
Yeah.
I am one of your castologists, Liz Best, here with
Zane C. Weber
and
Nick Bleeker.
And we've got some podcasts for you this week because that's our jobs and that's what we do.
Job
yes.
We love.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I've actually come across a few like new podcasts in the last 2 or 3 weeks and I'm so excited to be able to bring you guys in the coming weeks. So it forces you to go out and just listen to stuff. And I actually had some time over the last long weekend that we just had to kind of sit down and just go through all of the podcasts that people have either sent to me personally or just kind of browse through categories that I like and pick cover art that I like and hope that I strike gold.
That's how I do it.
Guys, cover art is important.
It's really important.
So important.
It's as important as a book cover. Even if you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, you will and
you're still not going to pick up the dusty, gross-looking book cover on the shelves.
And that being said, like I work all day and all night and all weekends on podcasts. So sometimes when it's time to look for new podcasts, you can be like, oh, okay, all right, let's do it. But like it only takes like 10 minutes of digging and then you're like, oh, yes, I'd love this. Let's find another good one.
The podcast that I'm recommending this week, and this will segue straight into my recommendation, is one that I found just – I don't even remember how I found it, but I found it through scrolling and looking and blah, blah, blah. And it's one of those podcasts that you hit for me where I listen to one episode and all of a sudden this is now my go-to escapism listen to podcast. I've binged the entire podcast in a couple of days, everything. So I'm recommending a podcast called Story Club. Now, Story Club is basically a live storytelling podcast. So they get guests in to tell stories at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney with an audience. Each episode is between 10 minutes and 20 minutes long. And there's a whole bunch of different either known and unknown people who get up and tell their stories. Now, this is particularly good for me because it's a range of genres. So when I first texted the boys about this one, I was like, oh my God, I'm really excited. I recommended three specific stories, one of which made me laugh my ass off and one of which had me in tears, and it was one after the other. So I love that there's the different genres. I love that it doesn't take up too much of my time. I can jump in the car and polish off one episode, and that when I need something out of my day, like that used to be r/ because it was just an easy 15-minute listen to stories. But listening to people's storytelling, it's inspiring. It makes me laugh. The specific episodes that I really love are James Colley's episode about goose.
Yeah.
Josh Lawson, he's got a lot of episodes, but the one I loved that made me cry was Grey Wolf and took me by surprise. I was not expecting to cry because he gets up and he goes, okay, I've got a poem, and I'm like, ugh. And then by the end of it, I'm crying. And Jordan Raskopoulos's The Beef Oracle.
Ooh. Jordan Raskopoulos is a gem.
Oh my God. Yeah. He is the king of telling stories with the exact right pace to take the audience exactly where he wants them to go. Or she,
I believe now.
Sorry. She.
I'm just checking now.
Yes, double check because I do not want to get that wrong. We literally just had a conversation off air about how I'm trying so hard to be good with my pronouns and I fuck up in the first 10 seconds of this episode.
She.
So she's just a comedy gem, like absolute perfection when it comes to timing. So, yes, I have listened to probably, I think there's about 138 episodes. I've probably listened to 130 of them now. I just back to back.
One of
so,
those.
The Story Club.
Excellent.
Zane, what have you got?
This week, not breaking from my yearly theme, but it's, I think this is a really interesting and fresh approach to climate movement.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Inherited.
Okay.
And it's episodes, there's only five or six. It's episodes created by and from and for youth who are involved in the climate movement.
Oh.
So it's literally passing it on to the next generation, how they're viewing it, what they're doing, and the questions they have for us, basically. Just like, if a handful of people can do this, why aren't more people getting involved? Mm. And that sort of thing. It's very compelling because I think people of a certain age, meaning elder millennials, we still think of ourselves as the youth when the youth are no longer, like, when we were their age, we were not as involved as they are.
No.
And we need to recognize that and embrace that, because that is going to be what changes the world. And this is a great example of exactly what the youth climate movement is capable of. So it's produced by Georgia Wright and Juliana Bradley. So they released these episodes last year. I don't know if there is more coming, but these episodes are really, really great to listen to.
Yeah. That sounds really fascinating. Mm, yeah. And I quite often, this is going to make me sound like I'm trying to make it all about me, which, I mean, look, it's me. It's my shtick.
One third of this show is you.
Young people these days make me feel so fucking lazy. Like, I had all of the thoughts that they're having, but I was always too fucking tired to do anything about it.
And were you too tired, or were you told that's not for you
actually,
yet?
Actually, yeah. No, I was told there was a lot of the, why are you thinking about that? Stop making everything so political. You know, you know, just fucking, we don't, there's a lot in our family. Actually, I don't really think it was, I don't know whether we, I've got a memory in my head of us just not talking about politics and it being not a thing that was spoken about, because up until it wasn't that long ago that certain members of my family voted Liberal and I couldn't understand why. But we never talked about politics in my family because my grandmother was such a staunch conservative that it would just kick up a fight. So we all knew it was better just to shut up about it. And also, women can't do anything. So,
well, that's the thing. Like, from the age of 15, I wanted to start a magazine and I wanted to do it right. You know me, like, if I have an idea, I want to do it right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Please let me do it right now.
Yes.
And I kept getting told, like, no, you don't know what you're doing yet.
Yeah.
You've got to go get experience. You've got to go to university. You've got to figure out what's going on. You've got to go work for News Corp. I'm like, okay.
Well, I started a theatre company with a bunch of friends at like 19 and people didn't take us seriously. They were just like, you know, you haven't been paid your dues in society or the world yet.
And honestly, that's one of the great things I love about podcasting, is it gives people who want to have a say and have a voice do exactly this, is have a say and have a voice, and whoever wants to listen to it can listen to it. You don't have to invest. You don't have to convince someone to open the gate for you. You can just walk through the gate, which is, yeah. So that's in Inherited.
Inherited.
Yeah.
Cool. Nick, what do we got?
Not that. I'll show you. My recommendation this week is called Nice White Parents.
Oh, sounds like what I was just talking about with my conservative grandmother.
Yeah. So it's a collaboration between the New York Times and Serial, or I think Serial has like a production arm now, like it's not just specifically
Yeah.
All right.
So they've actually collaborated with the New York Times for this podcast called Nice White Parents, which is basically examines the public school system and inequalities in that system, mainly framed around New York and Brooklyn, but it's sort of a...
Public school in America is rough.
Yeah.
And so...
Public anything in the US is rough, I think.
I mean, public school here can be amazing, but it's still well underfunded. But public school over there is just woof.
It's rough. But this one examines obviously the inequalities within that sort of education system, but the barrier between that is being white parents, rich, affluent white parents. There's probably a little less to do with sort of middle and like lower class, I guess, I say in quotes. But this has more to do with like the affluent side of white parents getting in the way, even with the well-meaning ones getting in the way of equality within the public school system. It's fully released, as far as I'm aware now. It's pretty, it's angry making. fair warning.
Cool, I'm in for such a great week next week.
I find Inherited inspiring, okay, even though it is about climate change.
Yeah,
so climate change, I'll put that out there. That's but good to know.
I'll go in with the mindset of wanting to be inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nice White Parents. It for me, listening to it, it really made me appreciate the public school system that I grew up and was educated in, but also made me very depressed about stuff over there.
It's a fucking cycle. Which is part of the course, it just really, keeps seriously. Certain people at a certain level for their entire fucking lives.
Yeah. But yeah, so Nice White Parents.
I'm already angry. Excellent. Thank you so much. All right, so let's go on to our reviews for the podcasts that we recommended last week. And I would like to hear, Zane, about yours, and then we shall review.
So I recommended Bad Faith, which is, well, so it's a politics and pop culture kind of panel show presented by Brianna Joy Gray and Virgil Texas. yeah, sorry, Virgil. So it's kind of deals with why civilization is collapsing and what the left can do to figure it and kind of how to unite the left and kind of fight against the collapse. What did you think?
I need to hear from Nick first.
Okay. Deal breaker. These episodes go beyond almost an hour and a half for correct. The most part. Deal breaker for me. I'm off 90 to 2 hours on podcasts. It probably says a lot about me as a person.
It's a lot about where our mindset is at the moment as well. Like back in the day when Hardcore History was recommended, I could actually felt like I could settle into that a bit more. But now my brain is shot.
That's it.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
The dream.
That said, it's a deal breaker for me because I just feel like I'm consuming so many podcasts.
It's hard to start.
Yeah, it really is. And especially with a podcast that has almost, 45 episodes that I'm counting on here. Mm-hmm. That's not to say it's a bad show. I only listened to one episode because I was like, Jesus Christ, this is going for 90 minutes and I have a lot of shit to do. Which was, I completely lost it. Actually, it was naturally about the storming of the Capitol.
Of course it was.
Because, you know, I like to punish myself that way. And initially, I didn't know what was going on. I was sort of like, I hate Virgil. I was like, you're annoying. Brianna's...
wow.
Brianna's... No, hold up. These are my initial thoughts until I got to a point in the episode. Brianna was great. I feel like I'd seen her before. I think I'd seen her on the Showtime show, The Circus. I think she might have been on there.
Yeah, she got around. It still does, like, as a political journalist.
Yeah. And then they started... they had two guests come on who I'm blanking on, but then the discussion started going into one that Zane and I actually had before the show, which was really interesting, about labeling people as terrorists and these people as terrorists and the no-fly list and then Parler and deplatforming people and the actual like adverse effects of deplatforming and what that could do to incite rather than, oh, well, just deplatform all these people. That way they don't do anything, but that makes them even more angrier because they can't vent. And I was like, oh, shit, that's really interesting. I would not have thought of it like that. And
Donald Trump's going to swoop in with a social network that charges people a subscription fee to be a part 100%. Of and continue to make a bunch of money off racist folks.
And the thing that made me, that reeled Virgil back in for me was because Virgil was the one, I think, that brought up the point and that was the counterpoint to what they were talking about in removing Parler and all that sort of stuff. And then I was like, okay, that's a very interesting conversation because that's a viewpoint that I had not heard or discussed or seen. And that's probably because my views probably don't align in that direction. So I probably am not actively looking for it.
Honestly, it's because the schadenfreude of seeing them be deplatformed is so sweet.
It is.
But you still have to kind of like take a step back and go like, okay, but what's the ongoing feedback loop that we're entering into here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think for me, that was where I was like, okay, this is... a good show. Not a show for me, but this is a good show that if you're looking to get informed about specific things, or if there's specific viewpoints that you probably are not sure where to go for that, or you're looking for like for alternative thinking, I guess, this is a pretty good start for that. If you want to invest 90 minutes to 2 hours, it's worth that. For me, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is a lot, but it's a good show. I'm not subscribing to it because it is fucking too long for
Look,
me.
Look, I do not expect either of you to subscribe to most of the shows I'm going to bring this year, because most of the shows these bring this year, and they're not about broad appeal, they're about important information. What I will say is pretty much exactly what you said. Like, if you identify as a member of the left or a leftist, and you want to know what to say to people who basically deny that you have the right way of thinking, this is a great podcast that gives you both sides of thinking and then weighs them up and tells you why conservatives think the way they do and why leftists think the way that they do, and then you get to make your choice. Yeah.
And I honestly, after that episode, I was like, I actually feel kind of smarter. Like, I was like, after a lot of these sort of political podcasts, I'm like, oh my God, I'm really fucking stupid. Like, there's just a wall here and my head's like, eh. But
I will say, I think that is what Virgil Texas brings to it.
Exactly.
Because he, like, Chapo Trap House is not a highbrow podcast, but I think he's not a dumb person, and so he can bring it to a level where people can understand.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like with Virgil, I didn't find him that funny, but I think the fact that he was able to inject himself in the conversation of what, like, that subject matter of, oh, how funny is it, the no-fly stuff, which to be fair is actually really funny, but then they're like, yeah, but it's the no-fly list is really fucking dark when you think about it, because there's no rhyme or reason to it. You're on it. And it's not just denied these, nutos or whatever get like flying home. It's denied people entry into their homes. And like, it's not just this thing. It's a much broader line of thinking and restriction. So yeah, I honestly, like, that for me, I was like, I got a lot out of this episode, but fuck me, this is a lot.
Yeah. So I was not looking to get informed, and I am not looking to learn anything for the next couple of weeks. I got to a point where I spent so much time obsessing over what was happening in the US and what was going to happen in the US, and holding my breath until the inauguration, hoping that the podcast terms didn't come to play in a reverse, really horrible way, that in the last few weeks I've just wanted to breathe out and not take in anything important. That being said, I listened to the red green. What was it called? The red green. Yeah, yep. Just the red green.
Yeah.
I thought there was an extra word, but no, the red green. And fuck, that was fascinating. Mm. Like, talking about, like, even at the start, it's just kind of talking about how capitalism came to be capitalism and why it's fucked and how it's edged further and further towards fuckedness. It has a lot of really good things to say. I don't think it's quite as accessible as the Good Newsweek comparison that you made.
Yeah.
And I don't think it for me, it didn't feel like a platformy, chatty kind of news presentation show. But what it did do is present information that didn't exist in a partisan bubble.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good and important. And yeah, it is accessible in that way. But again, at the moment for me, I'm still obviously being informed. I'm not a complete fucking, I'm not like certain people that we both know that I will talk about off air. But I just, I can't, I'm sorry, don't hate me right now. But it is something that I would like to go back and probably, once I'm back into, yes, fuck the world, fight the power mode again, I will probably have a listen to.
I do recommend that episode that I'd listen to.
Yeah.
I still think you should
listen to the red green. I think that particular episode you would get a lot out of, Nick.
Yeah. I'm happy to trade episodes if you want to trade episodes.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's go swapsies.
Yeah. Because honestly, the fact, like, I didn't turn off the show. Like,
yeah.
I kept listening to it.
It's the starting for me. Like, seeing, I am quite, like, I will sit down and listen to 5 hours worth of 15-minute podcasts. But when I look at something that says 2 hours and 10 minutes. Yeah, I'm like, I can't possibly, like, I delude myself into thinking that if I only listen to short podcasts, then I'll get up and do something. So it's the starting. But once I start, I'm in, you know.
Yep.
Okay.
That's totally fair.
Cool. So we're going to review my podcast that I bought last week now, which was Phoebe Reads a Mystery, where Phoebe Judge reads a mystery. She reads a chapter a day from a mystery novel. And Phoebe Judge, for the people who weren't listening last week, is I'm Phoebe Judge and this is Criminal, of Criminal podcast fame. What do we think?
This might be my shortest review. It's a good podcast. Pretty simple.
Sweet. Like, shortest title, shortest review.
Honestly, if you're looking, if listening to this, I'm listening to one or two audiobooks at the same time.
Yeah.
This is actually a pretty nice way to break it up with some of the more public domain stuff. Phoebe's voice is excellent. Like,
she's
honestly,
just, yeah,
you get what you get, really. Like, you pick a story and then go in, and it's just really pleasant.
Yep.
That's it.
I like Phoebe Judge's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I hate ASMR.
Oh.
This is a little too ASMR.
She's got such a level voice, doesn't she?
She does. And, like, it's just a little too ASMR for me to ever feel comfortable listening to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm always on edge, kind of going like, oh.
It is a mystery.
Don't like that. Don't like it.
But you liked her voice with Criminal and stuff. It's just the
like
reading
her
prose
voice
and stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, I think because she's, yeah, I think her reading voice is different to her presenting voice.
She ebbs and
very
she's
slightly.
Just got, she's quite level, and it's a very slight ebb and flow with the way that she approaches the cadence of her storytelling. I mean, she could read the fucking phone
and
book
sometimes,
and listen to
yeah,
it.
Sometimes it's just a little too whispery.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, thank you.
She does feel occasionally like she's the librarian sitting at the front desk trying not to disturb anybody.
And that being said, like, the production values are great.
Mm-hmm.
The content is great. Her voice is great. Like, this isn't one of those podcasts where I dislike the podcast because of the voice.
Mm.
The voice is great. It's just a little too close to ASMR for me to feel comfortable with it. So if you have a problem, if you like ASMR, great podcast.
And I also just like the chapter a day thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just nice, regular, reliable. Pick a book and go.
Yep.
Like,
pick a book and go.
And it's free, you guys.
It's free.
Free. You can donate on her page. When you go to Phoebe Reads a Mystery page, there's a little donate button at the top. So if you wish to donate, donate.
Yeah. Make it worth a while.
Great. All right. You know what time it is.
Sport time. I feel like I need to, we need to get like a bell, like a boxing bell or something.
We
like
do
that
not.
Do we?
Absolutely not.
Is that something we need?
No. Nope.
Let's vote now.
Maybe you
so
start
three
up
hands,
sport
listeners,
podcast.
There's three hands in the air saying yes to the bell.
Lies.
So
I actually count 16 hands saying no.
Don't see that. Yep. There's only three. my recommendation was BBC Radio 4's Bloodsport, which is a podcast that talks about the systemic doping of Russian athletes during the Olympics. What did you guys think?
This is very interesting. I don't view this as a sport podcast. I view this as a journalism podcast.
Yes.
I think this is a news story that has to do with sport rather than about sport itself. And honestly, I didn't find the production values too difficult to get beyond.
I was very confused, right? So I read a few reviews that were like, sound quality's awful, this is terrible, the production values are awful, and I actually forgot about those reviews when I was listening to it because there was nothing that really jumped out at me as being terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not bad. It's just for a BBC production.
Yeah.
I think maybe in our heads we have different standards than the BBC actually has, and they're used to putting things out quickly rather than putting out top tier quality audio.
Yeah.
They're more content based. But maybe that is just us. But it's just like it has come up a couple times that audio quality is less than we would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, we've come across some really terrible audio quality before, and with all the COVID stuff that's coming out, I didn't have a lot of problem. You know what I did love about this podcast? How short the episodes are. And that's not because I didn't enjoy the content. I really did. But it meant that
it was just in comparison
in the middle,
to Bad Faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in the middle of my day, I can fit in an episode and not have to start in the middle and go, where was I up to? Because I can get the whole thing knocked over. In fact, at one point I think I was waiting for the second part of the episode to begin and I realized, oh, that was the ad for the end of the episode. Okay, we're done. I thought it was an interesting story that I didn't know a lot about, to be honest. honest. Like, in fact, I realized I knew next to nothing. So it was kind of really interesting podcast, very interesting when you think about all of the different layers of like weirdness of some of the characters doing bizarre things for bizarre motives. And I just was like, why? What the fuck is motivating this person? And I still haven't finished it yet, but I will be because it's quick. Mm. But yeah, it's much better than I was expecting from a sports podcast and a very interesting story.
It's I'm about 6 episodes in.
I don't think it's very long, isn't it? Like only
No, I've only got a couple more to go.
It's like 10 episodes.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
The one thing I would like more from this specific podcast, and I think those others like it, is like, yes, we can talk about the Russians and why the Russians did this and why it was state-sponsored and not private-sponsored, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I also think we need to go one step further and just think, why is our relationship to sport such that a country felt the need to drug its people to win sport? I think that's the one level that it hasn't gone yet. It might go there, but I think that's the one level that it doesn't really push
into. It's been the whole sport thing, to go on a slight tangent, has been giving me the shits during COVID because it seems like everything else has to stop, but sport,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Sport has to keep going. And I get that they've, you know, with the Olympics postponed, and yes, but like, for example, at the time of recording, we've got all of the Australian Open players quarantining bitching about their quarantine, even though all of them, like a whole bunch of them, are testing positive to COVID. And I'm like, you are so lucky that you're even able to come here to play in the first place because everything else is shut down.
Yeah, and I think just on that tangent, and I'll do it super briefly, that's the whole thing, like with, you know, with the Indian-Australian cricket test in Sydney, when there was the waves of COVID, well, not the waves of COVID, but the outbreaks of COVID within there. And the Premier, it was saying that it's important that we go forward because it's good for the mental health of people and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, well,
so is art and theatre. So is lots of
other
things.
So is lots of other shit. Like people to go to theatre and cinemas. Like, come on.
I never understood how you can sit there and scream in a stadium with 30,000 people, but three actors singing on stage is somehow more COVID-y.
When I heard that,
how I found different that countries value their sport and how political. Like, I love how you know, our Prime Minister is like, let's not bring politics into sport, says the man who uses sport for politics at every fucking juncture that he possibly can.
Yeah, how good's the cricket, eh?
How good.
I love the cricket.
I think we're pitching another podcast to someone, maybe the BBC.
Politics and sport and. What does it say that countries feel like they need to be the best and dominate in sport as to where we should place sport in society?
Well, I mean, I think it's fairly I think it's a fairly accepted point of view that sport is what war was. So we compete in sport.
Wait, hold on. Male sport.
I think the competition that we have in sport is a vent for the competition that we would otherwise want to fight each other over.
Yeah. Because people give no shits about women's sport, but let's just stand this there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Another one.
Just on Buzzsport, a really good companion piece if you want sort of a visual thing. Icarus on Netflix is a very good documentary that sort of runs parallel to this as well. So it got nominated for an Oscar and all this other shit. Very well done. So if you're like, I want more of this, or I want to learn more of like doping in sport and why people do it and Russia specifically, Icarus on Netflix is a good watch.
Excellent. All right. Well, that is us done for another week of recommendations and reviews. If you've got a podcast that you think that we need to listen to and talk about and debate about, then send it in to us. You can go to thatsnotcanon.com/castology. There's a form you can fill out. It's super easy. You can contact us on any of the social medias to let us know. We've got such a diverse range of interests here that almost every topic is covered, I think. You know, we've got history, science, spec fic from Zane. We've got just sport from Nick. I'm into comedy or narrative, anything that tells a story, anyone's stories, I'm up for it. So
also chatty time podcasts.
Chatty time podcasts, anything that's either a bit lightness or levity or people's human stories, slice of life podcasts, I'm so into. Anything that adds comedy to another thing, like comedy history, comedy science, comedy, anything that makes me laugh when I cry. most of the rest of the day. Okay, so please write in, let us know. And it doesn't have to be your podcast. It can be something that you've listened to that you just think that we'll love. And yeah, that's it from us. So I have been Liz Best here with
Nick Bleeker
and
Zane C. Weber.
And keep listening to podcasts.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.